Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's hook up with the great voice of the San Jose Sharks. Dan Rusinowski joins us on the bench. They're embroiled in a series with the Vegas Golden Knights and impressively came out and took game one on their home ice at the Tank, 5-2 in San Jose. And they had it all going in that game. How about your boy Pavelski, Dan, with the shot off his face and jaw for a goal, and he lost teeth and everything else, but he came out with a mask on. What a badass.
I knew that that would get the approval of the Pharrell show. I just knew it.
I mean,
that the guy's a warrior. That's who Joe Pavelski is. He's willing to do anything for his team. I've seen him practice on the ice every day with Brent Burns, those tips day after day, get into the dirty areas, make sure he's there to try to get a piece of the puck. First time I've ever seen him deflect it with his face, but who knows, it probably won't be the last. That's the kind of a gutsy player and a great leader this guy is. And the fact that he came back after the protocol, came back with the face protection and actually won a whole bunch of face-offs and argued with the ref when he got taken out with a penalty that he argued with. It was just a great tour de force performance by him. And it's exactly what the Sharks need to do to beat this Vegas team.
He's had a great career, I think, so far in San Jose. And I was, you know, watching Patty Merlot tonight playing for the Leafs. Now, I know he left San Jose, but he had a great career there, if you ask me. And I, you know, 21 years in the league, it's unbelievable. What do you think of the guy, just from what you saw him do in San Jose and then what he's still doing, frankly, at his age in Toronto, because he's still a huge piece of that team?
Well, he's a big piece in many different ways, and obviously one of the major reasons why they brought him there and gave him that extra year to entice him to leave the Bay Area and go to Toronto was to be a mentor to people like Mitch Marner and players like Austin Matthews and all of these guys that the Leafs have are incredibly talented young players, Nylander being another one, contract notwithstanding. But still, these are people that they needed a real professional to be around. That's what Patrick Marleau's always been, a great professional, great human being. And you know what? You know, in the two decades he was with the Sharks, over 500 goals. The guy's going to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame whether he wins a Stanley Cup or not. He's the most amazing thing about Patrick Marleau's career that I can say is this. That right now he is on a major consecutive games played streak that goes back to 2009. Hasn't missed a single game since then. He's the only player that's anywhere above 500 straight games in an Ironman streak that's done it at this stage of his career at the age of 39. Everybody else, whether it was Gary Unger, whether it was Doug Jarvis, whether it was any of these guys, they were all considerably younger when they had those big, long streaks together. And that's just a testimony for how he takes care of himself, how he approaches the game. And, yeah, he's, you know, he's next year is going to be the last year of his deal, and he'll be a 40-year-old guy. So that was the bet that the Leafs took, obviously, to give him that extra year at $6.5 million. But I'd say that they would conclude it was worth it, given everything he's provided the club. So nothing but great respect for Patty Marleau. And when he came back to San Jose the first time, the fans here gave him an absolutely warm standing ovation that lasted a long time. And he was visibly moved by that. He's a well-loved figure in Sharks hockey history.
I got to tell you, like, he's got these you know, the great hands, like, and really strong hands. I was watching, because I used to love watching him play a lot in a Sharks uniform. And I got to tell you, like, these guys, like, I was watching Tavares and him, like, both of them have this innate ability to get a puck in the corner when there's extreme conditions, you know, when there's like three guys battling for a puck in the legs, they're caught between the skates, and somehow they can pinch with those hands of theirs, those strong, like, immovable hands where they can get a puck away from a guy when they shouldn't be able to do it. And I was watching Marlo do it for so long, and he's still got the innate ability to end up with that puck on his stick, even though it looks like he'd be the last guy that could get his hands on it. What do you think of Burns when he's clicking? Like, he had a goal in that game from Carlson and Hurdle. But the thing is, you have to tell me, we always know Burns is going to, go hard every night and everything else. But they lost Carlson for a nice chunk of this season. And I've always felt that if they had him, Dan, if he was healthy with Burns and Carlson, that they were the team in the West to worry about. Now that they got him back, do you think that Carlson can stay on the ice with Burns?
Well, it looks like it right now. And I'll tell you what, Scott, they did not take any chances with EK65 when he got hurt that second time, because they wanted to make sure that he was ready for a long playoff run. And he probably would have liked to have jumped back in a little bit sooner than he did. But he came back against Boston and aggravated something else when he thought he was basically over and done with the injury that he had. And these muscle injuries, these lower body groin injuries that great skaters have, I'd say that that's probably the time that they learn that they're not actually Superman, that there is a little bit of kryptonite that they've got to deal with. And I think that they erred on the side of caution, which was the smart thing. Carlson worked really hard to get back into good health, and he tried it last game of the season, was well over 20 minutes and showed no ill effects. And last game he got hit pretty hard by McNabb with a hip check at the blue line, came back and played again over, I think it was over 23 minutes, couple of assists that you referenced. And I just think he makes the Sharks that much of a stronger team. And of course, Brent Burns in his absence has had what I consider a Norris Trophy year, the way that he's played. All the points, 83, I think it is, at the end of the season. The first player at his age to have that many assists in many, many seasons. And I think that's as a defenseman, by the way. But I think that those two guys present a 1-2 punch. Imagine this. You put one guy in the first power play unit. You put the other guy in the second power play unit. And that turns the second power play unit into a first power play unit. And then if you can throw them out together in a 5-on-3, it's just going to be devastating to other teams that are going to probably try to avoid the penalty box as much as possible when those guys are out there. And when it's even strength, they're both great defensemen in their own zone. Yeah, Burns makes the gamble here once in a while. So does Carlson. But that's what you get with players like that riverboat gambler. But they're just so talented defensively, and they're both having really good years when they're healthy, as Burns has been all year.
Dan Rusinowski, the voice of the Sharks, on the bench with us. I thought Evander Kane had a great game. He scored as well late in the second. But more importantly, I thought he was so nasty and in the middle of all kinds of physical, scrummy type, nasty, I'm going to be in your face for this whole series. You need to get to know me tonight because I'm going to be a pain in your ass. I thought he was just that guy.
Well, he's not only going to be the guy when the extracurricular activities happen. That's going to create space, and then he can use his blazing speed and incredible shot. The tip that he scored on was just a beautiful one. He took that right out of Joe Pavelski's playbook, and I just think he's been a great fit for the organization. He's been a great citizen. He works really hard, good guy, and has a very special talent. So, yeah, he's going to be another important cog in the wheel, so to speak, here, Scott, as the Sharks go toward their ultimate goal.
I think Hurdle played great, too, a +3, had a goal and an assist. He was all over the ice, 20 minutes. I think he logged... Maybe Burns and Carlson were on the ice more, but no one else, I don't think.
Yeah, Kane is part of this too, but I think the masters of the play down low have got to be Hurdle and Timo Meier. Meier is sort of the understudy in training from Hurdle, who is, I think, becoming a master at this. I haven't seen guys protect pucks like that very often in the league. And in some ways, he kind of reminds you of Jaromir Jagr in his prime, the way he sticks his butt out there and dares you to move him when the puck's in the corner. And the way that he powers his way out of there, out to a shooting position in front, he's just been a tremendous player. And remember, first couple of years, he showcased all the skills and so forth when he was with the Sharks early in his career. But then he got that very, very terrible injury after he got nailed by Dustin Brown. And basically missed a year and a half, so his development got stunted a bit. But he's built the engine, and instead of a creaky old jalopy, he's a Formula One Ferrari V12 that's ready to go, and he's ready to rock. And that's where he is. He's just becoming one of the great young stars in the game, of becoming a stable veteran for this team.
So there's a lot of guys you got to worry about, Dan Rusinowski, about this Vegas team. Stone had a big game. Obviously, we already know how good he can be. He's made a big difference on that team. But guys like Riley Smith, I think he had 6 or 7 shots in that game. And, you know, Stasny, Pacioretty, they're so deep with talent on this team that guys, Marchessault and Carlson and Eakin, all these guys can produce. Who worries you the most?
Well, probably I'd say a combination of people. Of course, that top line of William Carlson, Marchessault, and Riley Smith are awfully dangerous. And now that they've added Pacioretty and Stone with Stastny, that's a tremendous second group of forwards that you have to contend with. So in that group, I'd say the one that seems to be the most dangerous the last few games that they played against each other has been Riley Smith. You know, he had a breakaway opportunity again at Martin Jones, very calmly stopped. When he's on his game, he can really rack up the points. And you go back earlier this year, it's very interesting. The Sharks won the close games in the series this year, and Vegas won a couple of blowouts. And in those blowouts, Riley Smith was really, really dangerous with getting around the back door, getting open. And then when you give him the puck, he's got that quick release. It makes it difficult for any goaltender. I'm not saying he's the only guy. Marchessault is somebody I really like too. But it seems as if this year that Riley Smith's been the guy up front. And then on the other side of things, we talk about Nate Schmidt on defense, but Shea Theodore is another guy that's an expert at taking the puck away. One of the better defensemen that has that ability, along with Brent Burns in the NHL. You take a look at the takeaway, Shea Theodore and Burns, you're right near the top of the league, and he's very skilled and creative with the puck as well. So that's a guy that they picked up from Anaheim, and that's a good pickup for George McPhee when they grabbed him from the Ducks and made him a big part of their present instead of the Ducks' future. And I think that's one of the relics of the expansion draft that really benefited them and all those moves that Vegas was able to make at the time. And Theodore is another guy that makes things happen and can do it quickly. And we're talking about one talent that this team has really through the lineup, and that's the quick strike ability that they have. When they're even given a crack of the door that opens, they can get right through that and either do it with skill, speed, or power, and certainly a lot of finesse. So that's one of the reasons why Vegas is a very formidable team.
What do you think of how much longer do you think Jumbo is going to play? Is this it for him?
If it were maybe December or January when he was still kind of coming back from that second consecutive devastating knee injury, I would have questioned it. But he's really enjoying hockey right now. He's feeling great. He's worked really hard to get back to this point. And if you want to have any inkling of how much fun he's having, just go back to the game against Boston when he scored the hat trick against his old team and tell me that it wasn't important that he did it. You could see the joy on his face, and he just couldn't help but let it out on the bench. And, of course, the fans saw that, and they thought it was the most wonderful thing they'd ever seen. I think that he'd love to continue to play. Obviously, San Jose is the place where he wants to be. And, you know, Pete DeBoer said the other day that he's like a second coach out there, or a third coach, actually, on the bench, that he's guiding guys like Kevin LeBanc, the kid from Staten Island, and also the young Swedish player in his mid-20s, Marcus Sorensen. Those are his two line mates. He loves mentoring these guys and passing on the things and the tricks of the trade that he's learned over two decades to the next generation. Not that different from what Patrick Marleau was now doing in Toronto, but also did in San Jose. So Joe Thornton is a special player and a special person. I just think his love of the game and his joy that he experiences is the most important thing to him, and he's willing to work his tail off to feel that. And the fact that he's feeling it now and that he's feeling good tells me that he wants to go until they tell him to stop, and I think he'd like to come back.
The great longtime voice of the San Jose Sharks, Dan Rusinowski, with us. Dan, great stuff. I love it. Always a fan of your work, and I appreciate you coming on the bench tonight and talking about the Sharks. I think it'll be a great series with Vegas the rest of the way. I can't wait to see how you guys do at T-Mobile in Sin City. It's a tough place to play. Good luck the rest of the way. Thanks so much for coming on CBS Sports Radio.
Absolutely, my friend. Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you.
You're the man. Dan Rusinowski, the voice of the Sharks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.